Well, we're continuing our series, I'm Still Standing, and we talked about standing out, that there are times as a follower of Jesus Christ, we're called to be different. We're called to stand out from the crowd. And then last week we talked about standing up, that there are times that we need to stand up. We need to stand up for what is right, what is true. We need to stand up in order to help someone who's on a destructive path get on the right path. And this week what I want to talk about is standing strong. Standing strong. See, standing is a very important issue. It determines your direction in life. You know, that direction is dictated by where you stand and how you stand and if you stand and when you stand. And if you're standing in the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons, it has tremendous impact on your life and the life of other people. And today we're going to look at a story that's one of my favorite in Scripture. I remember the first time I heard this story, I maybe was in first grade, I might have been in kindergarten, but somewhere around there. And I remember the flannel graph board. How many remember flannel graph boards? Yeah, well, I remember that flannel graph board, and Daniel was styling a robe, and he kind of looked like a cartoon, you know. And we talked about him being in the lion's den, and the lions were kind of cartoonish. And so they were kind of cute, actually. Think Tony the Tiger, but lion, okay? And so I loved the story. But I am not sure that I really grasp the real danger that was in the situation. And the main reason was the lions were too cute. They looked like you wanted to cuddle with them, you know, or something. The reality is the story is anything but child's play. It is a life and death situation. So if our Sunday school teacher had kept the story realistic, all of us kids would have been traumatized. We would have needed counseling for years. We would have been in tears, scared to death, not able to sleep for weeks if they had told the story the right way. This week in our story, Daniel, you notice he keeps aging, you know, and he's a much older man this week. He's in his 80s at this point. He has been walking with God for decades. The lions in the story are real. They're ferocious. They're hungry. The expectation was that the lions would rip Daniel to pieces and that they would devour him. Now, here's my question for you today. When you are in a dire situation, how do you stand strong? The fact is, I think we're going to learn some things from our story. Again, last week, Daniel, the last 2 weeks, has been serving under King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, at this point, has long since died. There is a new king, and it is Darius. Darius is a king. Darius was an administrative genius. He reorganized the kingdom. He took and divided it into 120 provinces, and he put satraps over each province. You got to think mayor, okay? So these are like mayors. But he assigned 3 administrators to be over the 120, and so they're dictating things. Daniel is one of the administrators, okay? So he's got one of the highest positions in the country. And the administrator's job really was to keep a pulse on the people in the provinces. And so they would protect against rebellion. They would levy taxes. They would manage the finances. They would balance the national budget. There's a novel idea, isn't it? Daniel, 6th chapter, picks up, says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Daniel was always standing out everywhere he went. He served with excellence. Daniel was head and shoulders above everyone that he was around. King Darius could see it, and King Darius decides that he's going to promote Daniel to the second most powerful position in the country. In fact, there would be no one more powerful than Daniel except the king himself. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? It looks like an amazing opportunity for Daniel. But it comes with a lot of trouble for Daniel. You see, the other administrators and some of the satraps, they are jealous of Daniel. They want Daniel out of the way. They want Daniel's position. They devise a plan and they go after Daniel. And it is a very, very difficult situation for Daniel. But Daniel, because of his relationship with God, Daniel, we're going to find, stands strong. He stands strong. Friends, if you want to stand strong in life, you need to understand some basic truths, and that's what we're going to look at today. And the first truth is this, and this is going to be hard to hear for some of you, but it is absolutely true. When God calls you, whatever he calls you to, when he promotes you, when he raises you up, there will always be people that will tear you down. That is just the way it happens in life. It's the way it plays out. You know, let's say you get a promotion at work. What happens is the people that you think will be excited for you oftentimes are the ones that are the most jealous and the most critical of you. You know, some of you may be excited about your faith, maybe new in your faith. I will tell you, there are always people that will make fun of your faith. And here's what's really hard to take. There will always be Christians that will try and bring you down. You just need to chill out. You know, it's a little weird to get that excited about Jesus. You know, maybe God's calling you to something that's a little more confrontational or controversial. You know, maybe countercultural. You decide you're going to downsize, live within your means. It's not a popular thing these days, but God may call you to that. Maybe you decide you're going to be a stay-at-home parent. Maybe you decide you're going to homeschool your kids. Maybe you decide you're going to start filtering your family's media intake. You know, maybe you decide that you're not going to get involved in leagues that run on Sunday morning. You know, when God calls you, when you follow in obedience, prepare yourself because there will be people to criticize you and tear you down. It's a fact of life. You know, it's a little bit like a crab syndrome. You know, you got a big bucket. I don't know if you know this, but if you throw a bunch of crabs in a bucket, one of the crabs decides it's going to escape out of the bucket. You know, I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to get free. And so they start trying to climb to the top. And just about the time they get to the top, guess what happens? The other crabs start pinching at them and clawing at them. And they drag them back down because they go, you can't be free and if I'm not going to be free. And that's true. They will not be able to get out of the bucket. Friends, when God raises you up, God calls you to something, you need to expect that there will be people that will tear you down. That's what happens with Daniel. That's what Daniel's facing. It says, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charge against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no, listen to this, they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. That is an amazing thing. They're digging. They want to find some dirt on him, but they can't find anything. They can't find any corruption. They can't even find where he's lazy and being negligent in his job. And so it says, finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charge against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the laws of his God. In other words, they're going to leverage his faith against him. They can't dig anything up. And so they plot and they plan. And their plan is they're going to tear him down. And this is something I think in our culture as Christians, we have a hard time understanding. Because I believe most Christians believe if you're serving God and if you're being faithful, that you should not face opposition. You should not face hard times. You should not have any difficulties in your life. And friends, it's not true. It's not true. We battle. We battle not only with flesh and blood, but we battle against powers and principalities and spiritual forces in this world. When God is using you, when God is moving his kingdom forward through you, you need to expect that there will be opposition in your life, and you need to expect that there will be resistance. You know, oftentimes I believe the devil will use even well-meaning people to tear other people down, to slow them down. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there will be times when God calls you, you need to be prepared to face the opposition. It's going to come at some point. And if you're not prepared, I would argue you're not ready to be used by God. You know, don't get caught off guard here. Friends, when you follow in obedience, when you seek to please God, there will always, 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 always be some opposition. You need to count on it. You need to count on it. Is that clear? Expect it. Daniel, he's standing out. Daniel is standing up, and sure enough, Daniel faces opposition. If you read the whole story, two of the administrators and some of the satraps, they start devising this plan, and they ingratiate themselves to the king. And scripture doesn't tell us exactly what happened here or how they did it, but I'm imagining that they buttered him up. You know, they're like, hey, king, you're looking good these days. You've been working out, you know, you're looking good. You know, love the robe. Sweet, you know, are those LeBron sandals or what, you know? And then they make a calculated suggestion. Hey, king, you are so amazing. Why don't you decree that, I don't know, for the next 30 days, everybody has to pray to you. And not only do they have to pray to you, but they can't pray to any other god. And why don't you make the punishment so severe that if they pray to any other god, that they get, I don't know, thrown in a lion's den? Now, King Darius has a problem that many of us deal with. And that's pride. And so, for Darius, he really wanted to deify himself. I mean, he knew he wasn't a god, but he liked being treated like a god. And so it says, now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree into writing. This is pretty slick here. It's very clever. Because they get the king to not only make the decree, but they get him to put it into writing. And I'm not sure we totally get this, but once he took that step, it put it into law, and it was a law that he could not repeal. It needed the vote of everyone to repeal it. And so they're putting him in a box here, basically. They're boxing him in. This was a big problem for Daniel. You see, the administrators, those two, they knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. And I was thinking about that law. If they were to put a law like that in place today, that you cannot pray, I wonder, would that be a problem for anyone? Would it? I mean, praying was part of Daniel's life. And now it carries the extreme penalty of being thrown in the lion's den. And so Daniel's got a decision to make. I mean, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? I mean, he could have stopped praying. I mean, he's 80 years old. He could have said, look, God, I've been praying for decades and decades, and I pray more than most people do. So I'm going to take the month off. I mean, I think I'm of more use to you alive than dead. So see you in 30 days. I hope you understand. He could have done that. He could have played it safe. He could have decided that, you know what, I'll pray silently, and I'm going to pray with my eyes open. I'm going to pray when I'm like walking and lounging and taking it easy. Hey, what you doing? Are you praying? No, just daydreaming. Or Daniel could have taken a stand. He could have faithfully prayed like he had always prayed. Daniel could have risked the persecution, the punishment. He could risk being thrown in the lion's den, being put to death, because that's what's at stake here. Daniel stands strong because his faith in God is strong. And if you read the story, I'm in awe of Daniel's faith. And I think, well, what gave him that kind of faith to stand strong like that? I mean, even in the face of possible death, he stands strong. He prays. Here's the other truth. Friends, when you kneel in prayer, it gives you strength to stand in life. When you kneel in prayer, it gives you strength to stand in life. You know, Scripture says this. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window was open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, what? Just as he had done before. When he faced that trial, when you face a trial, your first response should not be panic, but it should be prayer. It should be prayer. When we face trials, our language gives us away, honestly. I mean, it gives us away. Well, done everything I can do. What else can I do? Tried everything we can think of. We've exhausted every avenue that we know. Well, I guess all we can do now is what? Pray. Friends, our language gives us away. You know, our language says something about how little we value prayer in our life. I mean, I wonder what God's thinking in that moment. Wow, really? Situation's down to me? Really? You've hit the bottom. Good luck with that. Friends, prayer isn't all we have. Prayer is what we have in our life. You know, we can come before God's throne and we can pray. We have access to the creator and sustainer of the universe. We are able to ask a God that actually cares about what's happening in our lives on a regular basis. God notices. God hears our cries. God knows what's going on. And God pays attention when somebody's willing to humble themselves before him. And he delights moving and changing things and fixing things and recreating things in life. Friends, with God, all things are possible. We can pray. It's not the we got so little we can do. I mean, we can pray. And I want you to notice something here. Because Daniel doesn't make a public announcement. You know, in other words, he doesn't make a show of things here. He simply did what he has always done in his life. And that was pray. You know, Jesus hated the kind of hypocritical public prayers, you know, the look at me prayers, you know, the Pharisee type prayers. You know, the Pharisees, they'd go out and ring a bell. Get everybody's attention, please, attention, please, attention, please. And then they'd pray, and they wanted everybody to see how spiritual they were. It didn't have to do with this. It had to do with this. And Daniel simply does what he's always done. He went home, he got down on his knees, and he prayed to God three times a day, Scripture says. And I believe Daniel's success in his life could be tracked back to the decisions that he made in advance in his life. We talked about this the very first week. That as a young man in Babylon, he decided, he in his heart, he resolved that he would not defile himself with food or wine that was sacrificed to the other gods. I think that was a standard that he had in a lot of areas of his life where he decided ahead of time that I will not do this. I will do this. And so he would take and make that commitment ahead of time. Daniel's in his 80s. He decided a long time ago, I'm a child of God. I will spend time with my God. And so that's what he did. He would start his day and he would talk to God. He would come home at midday and he would kneel and he would talk to his God. And at the end of the day, he would wrap up his day with God. See, he decided, and I think he decided that because he fully understood that God had blessed him, that he knew that he needed God's guidance and strength on a moment-by-moment basis in his life. He wanted that close relationship with God. He decided ahead of time, I'm going to pray three times a day. It was a plan, and he put it into action. Friends, if you do not have a plan for your life spiritually, if you do not decide ahead of time you're going to spend time with God every single day, chances are you will not get to know God. Friends, you have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, I can almost guarantee you that you will not grow in your faith and you will not have much of a relationship with God. You need a plan. You need a plan. Resolve in your heart. Decide ahead of time. You know what, God? I will meet you here every day at this time, in this place. No matter what else happens, you can count on I'm going to be here and we're going to connect and we're going to talk. And friends, when you do that, it helps you grow. It helps you keep your priorities straight. It helps you find peace and strength and direction in your life. Anybody need that stuff? And it helps you live life better. Do you notice how Daniel prayed? It says he got down on his knees. And here's the irony to me. He kneels before God, and it gives him the strength to stand strong before people and before culture and everything that was against him. See, kneeling in humility before God, he finds strength. You need strength? Kneel before God. You know, when he knelt before God, if you've never done that in your life, I want to encourage you because you're missing something. You're missing something. It's in that position of humility. In other words, posture matters sometimes. You need strength in your life today. Some of you overwhelmed. You feeling weak. Some of you ready to quit and cave and give in to something. Maybe it's time you hit your knees before God. Because when you get low, it shows God your heart. It shows him the condition that you're in. And there's something that happens just by changing your position. When you're kneeling, you hear things differently. You see things differently. You find strength to stand and to do the right things. And then to just trust God, and it all comes out of that kneeling position. And I understand this is not easy stuff. I understand that standing strong sometimes, it comes with a risk. It comes with a cost. You know, for instance, you decide you're going to stand strong at work. Maybe you decide ahead of time, I will be a person of integrity no matter what. And then you face that moment. And you have a decision to make. And I understand you decide, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But inside, you're like, well, what if it cost me a promotion? What if it cost me that deal? What if it cost me my job? I mean, maybe you, God calls you to step away from a relationship because it's taking you down the wrong path. But inside, you're going, but what if I don't get another boyfriend? What if I don't get another girlfriend? What if this falls all apart? And I don't have a future. You know, maybe God calls you to stand strong on something like, you know, we're not going to sign up for sports leagues that take us away from church. You know, God's a higher priority. I know how this goes because I've heard it. And people go, yeah, but what if my kid doesn't get to play in college? You know, what if they don't get a scholarship? See, there's always the what ifs in life. You know, if they'd have just played in a better league, everything would have worked out. Daniel could have said, well, what if I pray and God doesn't rescue me? What if I die? It's a fair question, isn't it? I mean, there are lots of people in the Bible that you can read their lives. They had faith just like Daniel. And for whatever reason, God did not rescue them. Now, I wish I could stand up here today and tell you it always works out. But that is not true. It's not always true. It's not necessarily the way it happens. You know, in other words, this isn't Disney. This isn't a Disney movie. This is real life with a sovereign God and a world that's off the hinges. Friends, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's understanding is way, way more than our understanding. I cannot promise you, if you take a stand, that you will not suffer pain, that you will not go through injustice, that you will not get hurt, that people won't reject you, you know, that you won't get overlooked or dismissed. You know, I cannot promise you, if you stand strong for something, that things will not get worse. But here's what I can promise you. Friends, when you do what is right and what is godly, you can always trust God. Always trust God with the results. See, Daniel had no idea. He had no idea how his story was going to end. Daniel had no idea that he'd be on a flannel graph centuries later in a Sunday school room and have a pastor like me looking, going, wow, what kind of faith. Daniel, the only thing he knew was for 80 years, God had been faithful to him. And he knew that he would be faithful to God. It was not up for debate. I mean, Daniel's attitude, when you read through the scriptures, is, if God saves me, I'll trust him. If God doesn't save me, I will trust him. Word gets back to King Darius. Daniel's praying. And Daniel's relationship must have been close with Darius, because scripture says Darius was devastated. Why? He liked Daniel. I also think he's devastated because he realizes that he's been deceived by the other trusted administrators. And so he tries to undo the decree, tries to figure a way out of it. He can't. He signed it into law. It can't be fixed. And so scripture says the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and they threw him in the lion's den. The king says to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. That's quite a passage there. Scripture says that the king went back to the palace and he fasts. He stays up all night. He can't sleep. Scripture does not tell us this, but I believe that King Darius prayed that night. I don't think you say that and that your heart isn't, okay, God, get him out of this. We do not know what happened in the lion's den because Scripture just says it was sealed shut. Nobody really knows what happened in there. We don't know if Daniel was worshiping God. We don't know if he was over in a corner and afraid. We don't know if he was singing. We don't know if he was praying. We really don't know. But what we know is that the power of God moves and shuts the lion's mouth. And the first thing in the morning, at first light, see, I think the king, he was watching out the window, and as soon as he saw the sun trying to peek, he races to the lion's den. And it says, when he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you continually serve, there's that line again, been able to rescue you from the lions? It speaks volumes, again, about their relationship. It speaks volumes about the king's observation of Daniel and Daniel's faith. See, he's learned a lot about this faith thing. He's learned a lot about God. And Daniel answers. He tells the king he's unharmed, that God had sent angels to shut the mouths of the lions. And it must have been quite a moment. Can you imagine? I mean, it was a holy moment. It says the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him. Why? Because he what? Trusted God. Because he trusted God. Daniel did the right thing at the right time, the right way, and then he just trusted God. And some of you need to hear that today. You just need to trust God. You just need to trust God. This story, it gets kind of gory and takes kind of a twist at the end. But we're told that the administrators that had plotted against Daniel, that they were gathered up and their family was gathered up. And they're all thrown in the lion's den. I mean, it's awful when you read it. Scripture says that they were attacked before they even hit the ground and devoured. But then the king wrote a new decree. See, this is what God was up to all along. This is what God wanted to make happen. This is what the moment that God had brought Daniel to, because Daniel stood strong. It says, the king says this, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. See, he must have been really paying attention to Daniel and the kind of God he was serving. He says, he rescues and he saves. He performs miracles and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. I mean, that was a nation changer there. Friends, some of you, I know, are facing opposition in your life today. You're facing a trial. Things are getting heavy. I know that. And I want you to remember that when God promotes you, when God calls you, when God raises you up, that there will always be people trying to tear you down. There will always be things trying to get you to give up and to quit and to step away. It's just part of life. It's just part of life. It's just things that we have to deal with. And here's what I would tell you. Don't worry about the opposition. Just be obedient to God. Just be obedient. In fact, if you're not facing opposition in your life, it may be because you're not being obedient to God. Because opposition and resistance, it comes with the territory of being a good Christian. Some of you need to decide today. This would change your life. If you just decide today I'm going to spend a few minutes with God every single day. I'm going to spend some time in God's Word. I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to pray every single day, no matter what. I'm going to kneel before God. Friends, you do that, God will give you strength to face whatever it is you're facing. And I know some of you are facing difficulties, and some of you are facing opposition, and some of you, you can feel the pressure of culture. It is trying to get you off track and get you running away from God instead of toward God. And I would just tell you, you need to get down on your knees and pray so that you can stand strong. Some of you are ready to quit. Some of you are ready to cave on something. You know what God's calling you to, but you're ready to bail on it. Friends, you need God's strength. You need God's strength. Why? So that you will stand. And you'll do what is godly and what is right and what is holy and what God's called you to. You just need to do that. See, we stand strong. Why? Because God's faithful. We stand strong because God's faithful. We stand strong because we will be faithful. And then, and this is the hard part, because I know God's calling some of you to stand today. After you do what is godly and right and what God's called you to, you just got to trust God with the results. And God will always step in. Maybe not the way you're thinking, but God can be trusted. God can be trusted. He can. Let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. Our most holy God. God, I know there are some here today that pressures are high. Opposition is strong. There's some here ready to quit, ready to give up, ready to run for cover. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just breathe into them strength to stand. Stand their ground. Stand for what's right. Stand against temptation. Stand against the opposition. God, give us the strength. God, we just ask your Holy Spirit would just pour that out on. There are individuals here today that just need that strength. They need that peace. They need to know your wisdom. They need your guidance. And God, I know you're going to give it to them today. And God, all of us just, we need to be reminded that you can be trusted, that you have a plan. It may not be what we're thinking. It may not be the way we want it to be. But you got a plan. And you absolutely can be trusted with it. Our futures, God, we lay them in your hands. God, just help us to stand. Stand for what's right and godly and holy. And leave everything else to you. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. And God's people said, let's worship together.